Who do you consider to be some of the people who have made a name for themselves? Can you throw up some names? People who have made a name for themselves. Well, how about Anthony Albanese? Yeah, our Prime Minister. Or to some other field, like a guy whose name is quite unusual. He's like, you know, a smell. Elon Musk. It is a smell, isn't it? A Musk. Or to some other arena that has to do with something that is spherical, like Messi or other sports. I guess in Australia it'd be Greg Abbott. Is that right? Or Abbott? Gary Abbott. Gary Abbott. Okay, yes. Just to check to make sure that we are still Aussies. Making a name may sound immodest, may sound even outrageous to some of you, because it is self-seeking, and it certainly doesn't sound godly. Try to make a name for yourselves. Well, let me just state up front that there's nothing wrong with ambition. Trying to make a name for yourself. Trying to do something with what you have been given. In fact, I will go so far as to say, even Christians, to try to be the best that we can be. However, there's always a however, right? However, if we compromise godly principles in order to make a name for ourselves, in other words, if we compromise our what God desires and what God thinks is right so that we can make a name for ourselves, then watch out. If our egos and self-gratifications become bigger than God, then warning. Beep, beep, beep. It's folly to feast at the greatest banquets but have our stomachs filled with ulcers. It's pointless to achieve the greatest status but be despised by ourselves and our loved ones. It's self-defeating to amass the greatest wealth but be impoverished by loneliness and misery. And worst of all, making a name for yourselves in this world but be alienated from God. Today's sermon is entitled Making a Name. Now don't be surprised, I applaud those of you in applying yourselves to make a name for yourselves in your chosen fields, whatever they may be. But let today's scripture caution you. No name is ever worth it if you have to forsake God's name in order to achieve your name. In other words, don't give God up as you try to move up in this world. May today's scripture inspire you to live each day to its best by making one particular name great for the rest of your lives. Let's pause for a prayer as we jump into God's word for us today. Let's pray. O Lord, gracious Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, the name at which all knees shall bow, all tongues confess that you are Lord of all. We come before you today willing to submit ourselves, whatever big or small names that we have made of ourselves, at your feet, Lord. Come. Come. And speak to us today from your words in 1 Chronicles. Come, Holy Spirit, reawaken our desire for the goodness that you have called us to because of what Christ Jesus has done for us. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Now I pick 1st and 2nd Chronicles on which to base the upcoming preaching ministry. Chronicles are placed in the history section of the Old Testament. The religious emphasis about the temple hints of a priestly authorship. Perhaps someone like Ezra, though maybe it's hard to verify who was the actual author. Now, Chronicles is written in the late 5th century BC. In this scheme of things, the biblical roadmap is about this period of time as shown in the diagram. The original audience are the Jews returning after the exile. Of course, the exile raised the big question for the Israelites. Does God still care? If he does, why are we in bondage? That's what they will be thinking, right? Or asked in another way, have God's chosen people become unchosen? Now, the obvious answer to all these questions, as we read through the Bible, is that God is faithful and is merciful. His love and tender mercies never end. Yes, Israel had to suffer the consequences of idolatry, of discarding God, putting God aside, of compromising what God has told them to do. But God's divine providence is more than enough to restore them, to deliver them out of the exile. Now, the message of hope is a common thread holding the two books of Chronicles together. It's like a second Exodus when Israel finds itself in the loving arms of God again in the Promised Land. Now, while that is the truth, of course, it's not easy for the Israelites at that time to see it or to feel it, because there they were, being confronted by the ash and rubbish heaps of what was once a glorious nation. And furthermore, many of those people who returned at that point were born and raised in a foreign land. As such, they were caught between two worlds. On the one hand, they are used to the foreign culture and all the practices in Babylon. On the other hand, they are now to return to Israel and live as God's people. Talk about the struggle like that. So many of us are immigrants. We still stick with our own old comfort food, our tradition, our practices, and things like that. So in some ways, you know, Christians like us today, we can identify, because this kind of situation of the Israelites in that time kind of parallels our lives today. Christians were born and raised in this world, but we don't belong to this world. In Jesus Christ, we have our new life that's marked by faith, hope, and love. So, even though this is the Old Testament, Chronicles can still help us handle the tension between earthly and heavenly worlds. So, you still have your Bible turned to 1 Chronicles. If you just glance through the first part, we read from chapter 5. But if you just kind of glance through from the beginning, you begin to understand why today's sermon is about making a name. Why? Because if you glance through the first few chapters, there are so many names. In fact, the first 9 chapters are genealogies, you know, spanning from Adam to the 12 tribes of Israel. So maybe that's why not many people read Chronicles, because you cannot struggle through those 9 chapters. However, before you dismiss them as just a boring list, you must realize that these genealogies are also God's inspired word. And be that as it may, I must apologize for my inadequacy to preach the rich content of the entire 9 pages of genealogy. So today I have zoomed in on chapter 5, verses 18 to 26. In a way, it's kind of like every time you see genealogies, you know, you read very fast, and then suddenly it takes a turn and talks about something else. So these are the, maybe we can call the treasures or the gems that you have to work through the genealogy, all these names, etc., in order to distill out what may be of interest to us. So let us think about today's scripture, chapter 5, verses 18 to 26. It's a passage about these 2.5 tribes of people, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half tribe of Manasseh. And from this slide, you can see this is the area that we're talking about, the geographical location. And you notice something, that they are to the east of the Jordan River. The rest of the tribes are settled to the west of the Jordan River. Even these 2.5 tribes, they were supposed to settle in Palestine on the west side, that is like the rest of these other tribes. But go home and read Numbers 32 so that you can understand why these 2.5 tribes, they prefer the east side, mainly because it is to them more suitable for the huge herds and flocks they have accumulated at that time. It's a very interesting account, so go read Numbers chapter 32. Now back to today's scripture, even with a casual reading, you can sense a comparison that is happening in today's passage. Now perhaps this slide can help as we go through the different comparisons. You'll notice that it is, you know, nicely divided into verses 18 to 22 as one part and verses 23 to 26. And the difference is that in the beginning, the land was unsettled, and then later on, it became settled. And then it talks about the people who are occupying it. At first, they were unproven. We don't know what they can do. And then it showed that actually they are quite brave and famous. And then here comes the core of this list of comparison, that the faith or the faithlessness really is what pivots between what is glorious, what is honorable, what is godly compared to the other side. And then as the comparison goes on, you see what happens. One side is talking about, one part of the passage is about waging war against the enemies, whereas the other part is they are being attacked by the enemies who waged war on them. The bottom line is about the final situation, where one is about being settled and the other part is unsettled and ceased. If you remember reading the very last part, that they ceased to exist. In other words, when you look at this, whether Israel will flourish or perish depends on the core of what they do, and this is the core. Whether they seek God or they forsake God. That is the critical difference between what making a name or having no name is about. Now, of course, you know, even when this applies generally to Christians as well today, now I must warn you against taking this as a formulaic approach to your faith in God, as if you trust in God and if you do everything right, that your whole life will be smooth sailing. That is not the case. That is not the case. Jesus did everything right, yet he ended up at the cross. We must be willing to submit ourselves to this living, dynamic, and gracious God, rather than trying to formulize God in the formula that we ourselves want. Now, we know of, you know, many sincere, God-fearing, and God-oriented Christians who are suffering. And one thing's for sure, you know, if you think about it, the final analysis is none of us deserve God's grace and God's goodness because we cannot measure up to God's standard. We shall all be condemned to the utmost, but because of God's intervention for us, that we have hope. So, as we look at this scripture today, this is something that I want to highlight to you. As God's revelation continues from the Old Testament to the New Testament about us, as Christians, God's relationship with believers is not about land, the temple, or the ark with the nation of Israel. Rather, our relationship with God is about the kingdom of heaven, the presence of God in us, dwelling in us as Holy Spirit, and what Jesus has accomplished at the cross. So we have to consider the contextual difference between Old Testament Israel nation and us who are of New Testament, thinking about the heavenly kingdom. So for this is a very quick background and context for us to think about today's scripture. And with that in mind, I want to raise two lessons for us today. First lesson being, we are called to make a name. Even Christians are called to make a name for ourselves. In verses 18 to 12. In other words, even Christians, we have to take the responsibility seriously about what God has given us, what God has endowed in us. From today's scripture in verse 18, 1 Chronicles verse 18, we're told about these 2.5 tribes. They were able-bodied. They can handle shield and sword well. They can use a bow and they are trained for war. And sure enough, all this potential, all these gifts that they are endowed with, of course, they are useless unless they are acted upon. And verse 19 tells us, indeed they did. They responded in action when called to wage war. Now, whether it is Anthony Albanese, Elon Musk, or Messi, don't for one moment think that they can just rock up anytime and then the name is made. For that matter, don't for one moment think that people become doctors or entrepreneurs just by showing up. You know, that's not enough. Whether it's the graduation, you know, you think they just show up at the graduation ceremony or the contract signing ceremonies, that's it? No, it's not. Many have good gifts of great minds to study and remember stuff, to think logically, to figure out all the intricacies and complexities and solve problems before others do. Yes, they may be creative in the strategy. They may have, you know, a knack with people and build relationships to close great deals, whatever it is. But one thing is for sure. All these endowments, all these things, all these gifts that they have to put in time and effort in order to make a name for themselves. In other words, names are not made just because you have great potential, you have great gifts. Names are made because you exercise these great gifts, that you take action and you go through all that is necessary, training, hardship, sacrifices even, in order to make a name for yourself. Most of us here are not as young as we would like to be. In other words, we have, you know, climbed up the hill. Maybe some of us are over the hill. But I might add, to make a name for ourselves require some heavy lifting along the way. And very often this heavy lifting that you are doing, you do it away from the limelight. That all this hardship, all these sacrifices, all this hard labor that you put in, nobody can see. We have a lot of TV shows about food. You know, all they do is show you the final result and a little bit of a preparation. That's it. It's not that easy. You have to go through. You chop onions, you are going to have tears. People often just see what's on the center stage, but they forget the time and efforts put in order to get to the center stage, right? Put in another way, there's a price to be paid in making a name. So the challenge to you is, are you willing to take the responsibility for yourself with what you have been given in order to make a name? And by and large, most of you here are diligent and much turned on because we're Asians, right? For some reason, you know, it doesn't take as much for us to just get up and go and get things done. But allow me to ask, you may have accomplished great things in your life. What about, do you also take those same enthusiasms, the initiatives, and the hard work to work on your spiritual life? How about your spiritual life? We exercise in order to stay fit. Well, most of us try to stay trim. But what about your spiritual life? Do you do spiritual exercises in order to make sure you are also fit spiritually? I ask this because many of us, sometimes we feel that, you know, our spiritual life is very dry. Somehow we feel that God is so far away. And even if that's the case, guess who is the one who moved? It's certainly not God moving away from you. But maybe you have moved in the direction of your own choosing. That may not always be God's direction. So if you're feeling your spiritual life dry and boring, why not put in some watering efforts as we go into the winter season? Of course, we don't talk much about fruit, plants and stuff like that, but you know, it takes watering, it takes fertilizer, it takes weeding in order for your garden to grow nice. You need to tend it well. Same for our spiritual lives. Brothers and sisters in Christ, just like we must take responsibility for our career, for our garden, for our family, we must also take responsibility for our spiritual life. Put in the time, put in the effort, draw close to God. Today's scripture, verse 20, tells us these three tribes, these 2.5 tribes, cried out to God. They prayed hard, and God heard them. Verse 20. So, pray, cry out to God, and do so as a starting point rather than as the last resort. Many of us kneel down to pray because we have nothing, we can't do anything else. Everything, you know, we have tried everything already. Oh, okay, God, my way doesn't work. How about you try your way? Rather, we come to God first. We see what God is doing and join Him rather than you formulate your own way and then say, God, bless my formulation. Praying. 3 times a day we pray. We pray thanking God for His providence. Of course, we work in order to, make the bacon, earn the bread, you know. But it is still God's given gift to you to have strength, to have help, to have the ability to earn your keep. So, 3 times a day, when we do the most basic thing of our life that we are consciously doing, eating. Of course, you know, we're breathing as well every minute, every second, but we're not conscious of that. We take that for granted. But maybe food or your drinks will bring you to God. to do something about your spiritual life. In terms of applying oneself, I read an account about someone named Booker T. Washington. This man was a famed educator in the turn of the 20th century, so it's quite ancient. He himself recorded a rather unusual entrance exam that got him into a prestigious institute in Virginia, in the state of Virginia, as a young man. What happened was, the head teacher ordered Booker T. Washington to take a broom and sweep the classroom. And because Booker T. Washington knew this was his only chance, he swept the room, not once, not twice, but three times. He even dusted the furniture four times. Talk about applying himself. And when the teacher returned, she inspected the floor closely, and she ran the handkerchief over the woodwork, in other words, the furniture, and she did not find a single speck of dust. So she concluded, if someone who tried so hard to fulfill a simple command, he is going to apply himself very hard to study. And so he got into the institute and made a name for himself. A famous educator. Maybe a lot of things that we know today may have been written by him. Booker T. Washington later said that this was the turning point of his life. Just that one day sweeping the classroom. Those called to make a name, we need diligence. Mind you, it doesn't necessarily mean that putting in the time and effort must always yield a good result. Like Booker T. Washington, you may have to try two times, three times, or four times, etc., in order to make it. Now, of course, there's another possibility, right? Even after you have cleaned three times, four times, five times, 30 times, that you did not manage to make a name for yourself. So what do you do? That leads us to the second lesson for today's scripture. Whether we make a name or not, we are called to honor God's name. We are called to honor God's name, verses 22 to 26. In other words, there is no shame. Even though you may have swept the classroom for five times, 10 times, there is no shame. There is no shame in not making a name for ourselves despite our diligence. Still, we are to honor God's name. We must never forsake God. For no name is worth making for ourselves if we forsake God. And that's what we see in the second half of today's scripture. Verse 23 tells us, at first, Manasseh is numerous and settled. And it continues to say they were brave warriors and famous. In short, they have made a name for themselves, right? Famous. People know about them. They are on track. But they forsook God and became idolaters, idolaters. Verse 25 says, and it is a very stinging word they used. They prostituted themselves to pagan gods. My goodness. That is very serious. Friends, not making a name, not being known by many, is no tragedy. The real tragedy is dishonoring God and forsaking Him. In the scripture passage, the three tribes, well, two and a half tribes, forsook God. So they are captured by the Assyrian Empire and their lineage ceased. Guard against making a name at all costs. For no name is worthwhile if it results in your separation from the love of God. In a world bent on dishonoring God, Your desire to get what you want can make you compromise your faith and your principles. Your obsession with a temporary gratification can blind you to the dire consequences. That's how bribes and corruptions creep in. And usually they creep in. They don't blast in. It's very little subtle ways that all these problems will creep in. That's how people cut corners in order to get a deal. That's when you fudge and do dodgy things to get ahead, but only to find yourselves getting ahead over the cliff, spiraling down helplessly, destroying yourselves and your loved ones. I said earlier that making a name requires a price to be paid. However, you must never make a name at all costs. And certainly, never give up God in favor of this temporal world. My dear brothers and sisters, people of ECCS, no earthly success or achievement is worth it if it requires you to dishonor God's name in the process. This is the month of June. This is the time of the year in Australia when we are bombarded by messages of a four-letter word. It doesn't start with F, okay? It's okay. It starts with E, O, F, Y, end of financial year. All kinds of good deals come up, end of financial year. It's a turning point again in this Australia, this land of Australia. So, for most of us, end of financial year is just another season. We don't need to wait for these EOFY deals in order to buy things. We buy things, you know, at leisure. Thank God for all these blessings we have upon us. However, for others, the beginning of a new financial year brings dramatic changes to your lives. And, you know, whether it does or doesn't make any difference, this end of financial year things, as people of God, you can be sure of the urge for you to make a name for yourselves this season. Make the most of what you've been given. For some of you, maybe you study hard, of course not for academic thing, but your Bible. For some of you, maybe you gain a different experience. You have a new network, or you learn different ropes. In the process of all these, commit fully to honor God's name. Let nothing, however lucrative or prestigious, lead you to forsake the name that is above all names. Now, that's for the more ambitious side of our people. What about those, you know, who may be tempted to think, you know, you're over the hill already, the sun is setting on you, so what? Still, there's no excuse for you to cease honoring God's name. As long as you follow Jesus, treat each day as another new gift to make God's name known. And you might notice that the symbol I have put here, call to honor God's name, is the symbol of the cross. Because the cross, which symbolizes Jesus Christ, whom we Christians follow, that is the best reminder for us Christians that the cross is the ultimate act that honors God. Jesus honors God all the way. Despite the suffering, despite the cruelty, he honors God. And that's why we Christians, we look at the cross and we persevere, knowing that even though it is not easy, we have someone who helps us to persevere on. And that someone is none other than God himself. Let me close with a story. A family decided to move from a capital city out to the countryside. All right, this is before COVID. Even families do that too. They got sick and tired of the city life, so they moved to the country. They decided to be ranchers, you know, so that they can raise cattle, animals, herds. So friends asked them if they have picked a name for the ranch. Well, the would-be cattleman said, yes, I wanted to call it the Bar J, you know, letter J. And my wife, she wanted to call it Susie Q, letter Q. And my son liked the Flying W. I don't know what that stands for. And you know, the other child, they just want, he or she just wants Lazy Y. So we're calling it the Bar J Susie Q Flying W Lazy Y Ranch. Very long name. So the friends asked them, then where are all your cattles? The reply, they did not survive the branding. All right, so I think you all know what is the branding, right? Branding is burning a mark on the cattle to identify who it belongs to with such a long branding. Oh, well. People of ECCS, make all the name you can for yourself or for Christ. Brand yourself with the cross, the symbol of the greatest name, Jesus Christ. Amen.